This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
More about tonight's game and the NFL in general from Pro Football Weekly. Eric Edholm joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Eric, how you doing today, man?
I absolutely love the fact that you're at an alehouse at 10:30 in the morning. I think that's fantastic. That is utterly Wisconsin. I fully endorse it.
You know, it's funny because I've got the craft brews off to my left. I've got the concession stand that serves up the cheese curds and sandwiches off to my right. And I'm looking out on a sun-splash day at the Cream Puff Pavilion across from me. You're right. It doesn't get much better than it. This is like the way it's supposed to be when you dreamed as a kid that you get paid to do this.
Right, exactly. Well, as soon as we hang up, as soon as we finish this segment, charging up the phone, I'm heading up there. I'll meet you up there.
Perfect. Hey, I got a question for you in regards to Aaron Rodgers. He's been somewhat outspoken. He's gotten, you know, very poignant with some of the wide receivers. Nationally, how has that been received? Because here, most people seem to think that it's very much a leader who knows the window is closing eventually and wants to win and win now. Others look at it as, well, he must be unhappy that they got rid of Jordy Nelson and he's taking a shot at upper management. And I don't see it that way, but give me your perspective.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like that now. Obviously, I think there was a time in the off season where he thought, "What's going on here?" Especially when you heard from people out in Oakland saying, "Man, what are the Packers doing letting Jordy go? He's looked great and all that stuff." So, you know, I'm sure in the aftermath, or even maybe leaking into OTAs, there was probably a sense of that. But Aaron's smart enough, and I think compartmentalizes well enough to know, look. Any lingering feelings I have or, you know, upset about that happening, if I drag that into the regular season or even the preseason, that's going to be a negative for our team. So I see it more like you do, which is we've got to get these guys up to speed. Okay, we know who our one and two are. We think Geronimo Allison is three. You know, just because Jake Kumerow's had good training camp practices, we don't know that he's going to be able to step up in that role. Is he going to be the next Jeff Janis? Whatever. Yeah, some of these young guys have to step up, whether it's the three draft picks, whether it's Trevor Davis, whether it's, you know, somebody else on that roster. We need, because of who we are, our identity, we've got to have four and five wide receivers that we trust along with our tight ends and backs to make this whole thing work.
We know Aaron Rodgers healthy takes this team to the postseason. How deep they go, in my opinion, depends on what Mike Pettine's defense does. So give me your thoughts on Mike Pettine as a D coordinator and what you've heard coming out of Green Bay as far as the ability to, get the most out of these guys or change attitudes regarding the Dom Capers regime from years ago to where Mike Pettine is today.
Yeah, I mean, aggressive man defense, I think, is sort of what he's been known for, press man defense. Obviously, you've seen it, you know, in terms of the guys they've drafted in this offseason at that position. That obviously will play a lot into it. You know, he's always been, I think he was unfairly hurt by his head coaching experience in terms of his reputation. I mean, you look at his history, he's had good defensive teams, you know, teams that have been able to generate pressure, and that's kind of his hallmark. I thought he was a good, it was described to me when he was in New York was that, you know, Rex was this guy who, you know, wanted to play certain fronts and blitz aggressively and do all that. And Mike Pettine was kind of his buffer. And Mike would say, hey, coach, you know, let's dial it back in these situations. Let's push the pedal in other situations. He was kind of the perfect, antidote to that. And that was great. And I think that's important. You have to have somebody who's headstrong enough to kind of stand up to the head coach and remind them, here's what we're trying to achieve, but also deferential enough to know the head coach does have final say. So I think he's a great spot here. You know, he's going to fit right in. Will it take a little time? Maybe. Sure. But, you know, you're right. I think for them to take that next step, they do have to just develop a little bit more of a big play mentality defensively and, you know, and just sort of keep scores relatively low for that offense to do its work, and we know they're going to score points. So I feel like they're in pretty good shape heading into the season, even with some, you know, some good challenges early in the year.
Now you've got to look northward towards Minnesota. They are the by many accounts the favorite. I mean, obviously they've got a tremendous defense. They get the running back back this year, and they've at least in their minds upgraded their quarterback position. So as far as Minnesota goes, and let's face it, Mike Zimmer has been a guy that's been fantastic at scheming against Aaron Rodgers, even going back to his years with Cincinnati. So now with the return of Dalvin Cook, you've got Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs, and they still got a pretty solid tight end in Kyle Rudolph. So how good is this team? I mean, I still think they're the team to beat, but many seem to think just because of the return of Aaron Rodgers, the Packers are the incumbent.
Yeah, I feel a little bit like a broken record. I've sort of harped on the same two talking points this offseason, and nothing that I've seen this preseason has changed it, which is, go back and look, they were a 13-3 team last year, right? I mean, they were one of the, you know, four or five best teams in football, no question about it last year. In theory, as you said, they upgraded the quarterback. They added Sheldon Richardson on defense. They get Dalvin Cook back in the backfield. They should be better, but does that mean they're going to win more games? No, not at all, not necessarily. So, you know, they won some close ones last year, had a good record in one score games. You know, there's the assumption there's a little luck involved with that, which I think is true. Just like the Steelers, they were 13-3, but to me, they didn't necessarily resemble a 13-3 team, talking about Pittsburgh. So, you know, win totals are sometimes cosmetic in a little bit, and the Vikings could theoretically be a better team pound for pound than they were a year ago, but they could go 11-5. You know, they could go 10-6 in a really challenging division. I mean, they've got tough games too. Not the Green Bay doesn't, not the Chicago doesn't, not the Lions don't. But you know, you start looking at Minnesota's schedule: 49ers and Jimmy Garoppolo week one, at Green Bay week two. You know, I don't think much of the Bills, but the Rams, the Eagles, you know, the Saints, all in the first part of that schedule. Would it stun me if they were, you know, 3-3, 4-3? No, it wouldn't. So I think it's reasonable to say that they can be a better football team. But Cousins playing better than what Keenum gave him during the regular season last year, don't assume that's going to be the case, because he was exceptional last year, and I think people have to keep that in mind.
Talking with Eric Edholm of Pro Football Weekly. Now, I don't know really what to make of Detroit. I'll deal with them in just a couple of moments, but I wanted to get into the addition of Matt Nagy and the growth and development of the quarterback down in Chicago and Mitch Trubisky and what they've got going on. I keep looking over the fence saying this team is getting better. I don't think enough people are giving them credit. I just don't know what Matt Nagy is going to do to elevate this team to another level.
They're going to have diversity on offense. That's going to be the biggest difference. I mean, last year when you played the Bears, you know, it was handoff, short pass, you know, punt, right? I mean, that was – we got so used to it. Jordan Howard, Tariq Cohen, okay. And then, you know, it's 3rd and 6, and now we got to kick the ball away after an incompletion. I mean, that was really kind of the identity of the team. You're going to see a team that is diverse formationally, that could throw the ball to Allen Robinson 12 times one game and 4 times the next, you know, that has Anthony Miller, a rookie who's looked fantastic. I've seen him twice now in one live practice and one kind of walkthrough. But I can tell you they're really buzzing about him, and that he is not your typical second-round pick at receiver. He could be an instant contributor. They've got, you know, tight ends who can catch the ball, backs who can catch the ball. Jordan Howard has improved as a receiver. So the two biggest issues with them for me, besides Trubisky, we'll put him to the side for a minute, the offensive line, how it's going to come together. They have no depth to tackle. They're still figuring out the interior positions a little bit, and the pass rush on defense. If Leonard Floyd doesn't turn into something of a productive edge rusher, I don't know where they're going to supply pressure from. They're going to be a good coverage team. They're going to be a good tackling team, but they may not be the kind of team that can rack up 35 or 40 sacks or more. I just don't see it happening, because there's really no other proven edge guy on that defense.
So I do want to touch on Detroit. I know Detroit trying to get better. I mean, they bring in Matt Patricia. You know, they still keep Jim Bob Cooter, who worked really well with Matthew Stafford over on the offensive side. Paul Pasqualoni, he is now your defensive coordinator. I mean, I'm looking at this team thinking to myself, how much better really are they? They still have a lot of the same guys in the secondary, picking up Glover Quinn. They've got him at the free safety back there, and he's very solid. But how much better are they defensively to slow down some of the teams in their same division?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think defensively is where you start, especially with Matt Patricia coming on and having that reputation of being a defensive savant and all that. It's tough to say because their defensive front doesn't really scare me that much. I mean, Ziggy Ansah at his best is a very good player up front. But, you know, A'shaun Robinson has been okay. You know, Kerry Hyder is coming off an injury. He was their best kind of, you know, interior rusher 2 years ago. Sylvester Williams, same thing. He's sort of a cast-off. I'm trying to think of who else they have up front that you could really kind of hang your hat on. Anthony Zettel is a nice little player. But that front seven is going to come under a little pressure, and you're going to have to see guys like Jared Davis at inside linebacker really step up. And, you know, Devon Kennard from the Giants they picked up. I always liked him as a part-time player, but is he a 800-snap guy? I don't know. So the secondary I'm not worried about. I think they have the pieces back there. It's really that front seven to me that I have the biggest questions with. And you're going to see a lot of mixing and matching, you know, zone pressures and different kind of things to kind of scheme their way to success a little bit and maybe cover up some of their talent deficiencies up front. Offensively, Stafford, maybe a better run game with Kerryon Johnson, those receivers. I think they'll put up points. I just don't know if they're going to be exceptional. They better hope to be good situationally defensively. Third down, fourth quarter, red zone, all that stuff. That's really where I think they can hide some of their shortcomings on D.
Okay, one more thing before I let you go, and that is who wins the NFC North and who represents the NFC in the Super Bowl?
I promise I am not just currying favor of the locals, but I'm kind of leaning Green Bay on this one, and I can see it coming down to where, you know, a tiebreaker. Both teams are 11-5 or 12-4 or maybe 10-6 if it's a tougher division top to bottom than we expect or something like that. I wish we had a Vikings-Packers game in Week 17. Obviously, that's not how it worked out. But, you know, we're going to see these teams go head-to-head. If they split, you know, it's going to be one more tiebreaker that we have to go down the chain. I think the Packers have a chance. And for the reasons we laid out earlier, I'm kind of hedging right now, but I'll make my final picks in a couple weeks. But I'm ever so slightly leaning Green Bay over Minnesota right now.
Good stuff, Eric. We appreciate it. When you make your way into the Wisconsin State Fair, you got to come over to the Goose Island Ale House. They're going to do a tapping today at 3:30 from some new beverages, and enjoy the cheese curds across the way, babe. Okay?
Oh man, I could eat 100 of those things in a day in a sitting. How about that, right?
Thanks. Drop my name over here. Maybe they'll throw a bucket of them out there for you. Okay?
You are the curd man. All right. Good.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon. There you go. Eric Edholm. He is with the Pro Football Weekly guys, and they do a fantastic job. Wealth of knowledge. Great to talk to him. Great to talk some football. And he is saying just by an edge, it's the Green Bay Packers in this division over the Minnesota Vikings, with the Bears and the Lions then trailing. So good stuff there. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or going to schneiderjobs.com. 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.